Welcome to Disorderly Dogs, the podcast for dog guardians. If you find yourself in precarious predicaments with your dog, this podcast is for you. I'm a certified professional dog trainer, and I take my 10 years of training experience and I share easy to implement dog training advice with an emphasis on kindness and compassion. Welcome. I'm so excited to share more. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Disorderly Dogs, the podcast. I hope that you all are well wherever you are. We keep getting spring weather over here. We're just soaking it all in. Sunshine. Waylon's favorite pastime is to sunbathe on top of our picnic table in the backyard. So he has been doing a lot of that. And Spicy prefers to lay and get herself ridiculously dirty. So she's taking a dirt bath and then sunning herself. But honestly, we are all doing pretty well here in Colorado. I hope that wherever you are, you and your dog are doing well. Today's episode is all about dog bite prevention. So some of you may know, some of you may not know. It is actually National Dog Bite Prevention Week, where we share information to equip you and the general public with tools to prevent dog bites and to keep dogs safe. So I want to talk about dog bites today, but mainly how to prevent dog bites. And I want to make something really, really clear, because I think that this is something that I see perpetuated a lot on social media, is that like people are like, no, this dog is trained, they won't bite. And like, I wish that that's the way that it works, but that's not the way that it works. Just because a dog has had training does not mean that they will not bite. Okay. And I also want to say that I know that so many of you have these beloved dogs that you could just never imagine that they could bite. And I don't want you to have to imagine your dog biting, but I also want to be very, very clear that every single dog is capable of biting. Every single one. No matter how well you know this dog, no matter how long they've lived with you, all dogs are capable of biting. And as some of you know, this is a lesson that I learned several years ago when Waylon bit one of our friends. Not an ideal situation. That is a story for another podcast episode. Long story short, my friend is totally fine. Waylon is totally fine. It's totally preventable in the future. But dog bites happen, okay? Even to me, right? Even with this dog that I did so much socialization with as a youngster, and I really thought that he would never bite anyone. He did, right? So all dogs are capable of biting, and I think that that's really, really important to remember. I also do want to state that every single breed is capable of biting, and it's not really that there are certain breeds that are more capable of biting than others. That's really just kind of pop culture trying to demonize certain breeds. Every single breed of dog is capable of biting. Even your golden retrievers. Even your Bernedoodles. Okay? Even your little Shih Tzus. They are all capable of biting. And it's up to us to keep them safe and prevent bites from happening. So before I talk about prevention, I want to talk about some of the reasons that dogs bite. Because I think that dog bites are obviously scary. You don't want to be on the receiving end of one. I've been bit over the years. I've seen people get bit. I've seen other dogs get bit, and it can be really scary. It can be violent, and it can absolutely be dangerous. But I think that when we understand the motivation and the why dogs use biting, I think it creates a very helpful lens. So I did an episode on dog bites in the past called Demystifying Dog Bites, and that is, we'll link that up in the show notes for you. But so I don't want to go into too much depth and detail. If you want to learn more about the dog bite, you can totally listen to that episode. But generally speaking, right, there are a couple different major motivators that I see for biting. And I do want to be clear that like biting and using aggression is something that, of course, a dog would use if they are feeling threatened. If they're fearful, if they're stressed, if they're overwhelmed, if they feel like they don't have an out, a lot of dogs will do a lot of other behaviors before they resort to biting, right? So a lot of dogs use biting when they are scared, stressed, overwhelmed. It's the major reason that I see dog bites being perpetuated is because the dog is feeling super overwhelmed and they feel like they have no other choice. I do also want to say that there can be other contributing factors, right? Pain, physical pain, seen a lot of dog bites over the years, come to find out that this dog is in horrible pain and the human unknowingly touched them in the area where it really, really hurts, and they use biting, right? So often fear, pain, those are big contributing factors. But I do also want to state that I do see dog bites happen where I really don't think that it's necessarily either, and I really think it is a neurologic disorder, and they are incapable of thinking and processing in the way of the average dog. And those dogs, in my experience, use biting and are much more dangerous, right? This is not an exhaustive list, but I wanted just to give you a few reasons why dogs use their teeth, why they might bite, right? And like I was saying, in my experience, it really is a lot of fear, overwhelm, and feeling like they have no other option, right? Most of the dog bites that I consult on are because the dog felt like they didn't have any other option. And when we look at it from that lens, that usually comes with a safer outcome. I also did an episode on behavioral euthanasia, which is a really, really hard topic to cover, but I cover it because sometimes that is the safest thing we can do when dogs bite. So if you are dealing with a dog bite, maybe your dog bites people, you I'm sure are much more educated than just what you will learn in this podcast, but there's a lot of reasons why dogs bite, and we just have to kind of look at the individual dog and their motivation for the biting. So now let's talk about preventing dog bites, shall we? So when it comes to dog bite prevention, I think that there are a couple of general rules that I follow that I think are really helpful tips for you to remember. So something that's so funny, because all of my friends and family obviously know what I do for a living, and we travel, we go places, and obviously there's lots of dogs there. And something that really blows my friend's mind is that, like, when I see dogs, I don't just like go and interact with them, right? They're like, "Don't you like dogs?" And I'm like, "Yes, I love dogs, but I love dogs enough to respect their space and not just presume that they will just like feel my energy and they'll be friends with me," right? I'll be honest, sometimes that happens, but I really don't. When I'm out in the world, I do not approach dogs that I don't know. And I know that this might be hard for some of you, because you're like, "Oh my God, I love saying hi to dogs out in the world." And you know, if you know a certain dog and like you know them and you see them all the time, I think that's one thing. But like unknown dogs, I don't interact with unless like they very explicitly want to interact with me. And I think that this is a really, really helpful tip, is that like, if you don't know the dog, do you really need to interact with it? Do you though? Right? Maybe you do. Maybe this dog is like making googly eyes at you from afar and they have super loose body language and you can tell they really want to be pet. That's amazing. But I think that generally speaking, people are not as good at reading body language as they think that they are. And that gets them into very precarious situations. I also live in this world, y'all, and I have seen so many ridiculous interactions with humans and dogs they don't know go down. And I've seen people get bit, and like you can see it happening, and you would be like, "Get away from the dog." These people just don't see it. They're not seeing the warning signs, and then they get bit by the dog. So generally speaking, if you don't know the dog and you don't feel super duper confident in your ability to read dog body language, I think that it's probably a safer bet just not to interact with that dog. And I will also say that I want to give credit to the amazing dog guardians out there that know their dogs well, that are really well versed. They know what to tell people. But in my experience, most people are like, "No, he's totally cool. He loves people." And then I'm like reading the body language, I was like, you are not, you don't understand your dog that well. Right? Like you can't always just take somebody else's word for it either. So if you haven't already, we have a free body language mini course. You can join that. We'll include a link to that in the show notes too. So that's a really helpful lens for being able to read body language and see precursors to aggression and dog bites. But generally speaking, I just don't interact with dogs that I don't know. I just don't. And that's a really easy way to prevent a dog bite, because I'm not getting in a dog's face that I don't know. Something that if you are listening and you have kids, I want you just to let sink in that the level of dog bites to kids makes up like half of all reported dog bites. Half of all reported dog bites are kids, right? Usually under the age of 5 or 6. And those dog bites usually happen with family, in family homes, with family friends, and quote unquote, they didn't see it coming. So if you have a kid, you need to be an expert at reading dog body language and making sure that you're setting your kid up for success. But I will be honest, I don't have a child. I just have four children. You all know this. But when I spend time with my godchildren, I do not let them interact with dogs that we don't know. I just don't, right? Like, it's great that you love dogs, but you can't approach a dog that we don't know. And honestly, sometimes people are like, oh no, they love kids. And I see the body language. I'm like, no, you still can't say hi. And I know this seems kind of intense. Like, whoa, Rachel, aren't you like chill and easygoing? Yeah, I want to be chill and easygoing. But when you look at the numbers and who suffers the consequence, it's kids. And that's not fair. We have to protect the kids, right? And as many of you know, my dogs do really pretty great with kids. And you know what I do? I still use an abundance of caution. I still use an abundance of caution because especially like the little kids being right at dog height, it's like there's just so much margin for error. So if you are a parent, please be so, so cautious. And it's not that I want to suppress little kids loving dogs because I want little kids to love dogs, but I don't want little kids to get bit and I don't want dogs to have to die because of it. So if you have youngsters, right, under the age of 6 and they want to interact with dogs that you don't know out in the world, honestly, my professional opinion is just don't let them, right? Because there are so many things that can go south and then the poor little kid pays the physical consequence, and then usually that dog loses its life. So when it comes to interacting with unknown dogs as an adult human, I still really do not interact with dogs that I don't know. And when I am spending time with the children in my circle and in my family, I do not let them interact with dogs that we don't know, okay? Reading body language is so, so important, but we can't expect four-year-olds to be able to read body language. We can't expect dogs to know that the four-year-old isn't, you know, scary or overwhelming or going to take something, right? Like, we really have to be advocates for both the dog and the kid in those moments to keep them safe. That's kind of my feelings on unknown dogs, okay? And not that I don't ever interact with unknown dogs, but as a general rule, I really do my best not to, unless I'm seeing so much body language over and over and over again that the dog is just desperate to say hello, right? And even in those cases, I'm still really, really respectful of not leaning over the dog, not putting my face in their face, doing some consent tests. If you took the body language mini course, there's a video for this. If you'd like to see it, hey, you can join the mini course for free. But a consent test is basically like I do some checking in, right? I let the dog approach me always. I always let the dog make the first move. Always. Okay. And if they make the first move and they come over and they're wiggly, I might lean over a little bit, being really cautious not to put my face in their face and give them a few pats. Then I will stop petting them and see how they proceed. If they just kind of hang out there and then they're looking up at me like, please, please, please pet me more, I will. But most of the time when I interact with dogs that I don't know yet, right? Like this is the first time meeting them, I do some consent tests and most of the time they're happy to be in my space, but they don't want me to touch them. And I think that that's a really hard thing for us humans to absorb because we're just gonna be like, no, all dogs love me. And everyone, at this point, I really don't care if all dogs love me. What I care about is that my dogs love me. The dogs that I have to care for love me and I can safely interact with that. And then all the other dogs, it's cool. They can have their own opinion. It doesn't really matter. So it's really important that when it comes to interacting with unknown dogs, you tread very, very lightly, right? Until you learn more information about that. When it comes to interacting with dogs that I do know, the rules are less, right? Less enforced, less strict. But when it comes to interacting with dogs that I do know, I'm always reading their body language and just, you know, observing who they are, their personality type, how they feel, right? I'm really lucky that so much of my family lives close and they all have dogs, and I spend a lot of time with my clients' dogs and my own dogs and having dogs in and out of this house. So I've gotten the opportunity to get to know a lot of dogs. But when it comes to interacting with dogs, you know, part of getting to know that dog is understanding their personal preferences, right? What they like, what they don't like, when they're likely to be frustrated, cranky. And when you get to know the dog, it makes it so much safer to prevent bites because you know so many of these little details, right? And I will say that, like, my own dogs at home, I'll be honest, I smother them. My face is constantly in their face. I'm smooching them. I'm hugging them. My dogs are very, very tolerant of those things. But if my dogs were sick, in pain, I wouldn't do that, right? Because I don't want to put them in a situation where they feel like they have to use biting to tell me. So a lot of preventing bites with dogs that you do know is just getting to know them and honoring their preferences, right? How they're feeling that day, their mood, their general personality, and reading their body language, just being an expert at reading their body language and interacting with them how they like to be interacted with. Right? I see so much of this, like, bending, leaning over the dog, like smacking them so hard on the rear end. And I'm like, people, I don't think dogs really like that. I think a lot of dogs are really tolerant of that. But, like, think about gentler, softer interactions and pets with dogs, right? And, you know, it's like I have a lot of dogs in our immediate family. My mother-in-law has two little dogs. And the one little dog, her name is Stella. She's a little Maltese mix, and she is a delight. But something she will do, and this was because she came from a little bit of a tumultuous past, is that you'll bend over to interact with her and she kind of does this like submissive role. And a lot of times people just kind of negate that, like, oh, she just wants belly rubs, and they just like pat her on her belly. But I don't do that. When she does that submissive role, what I do is I back up and I encourage her, like, it's okay, Stelly, come over here. And I encourage her to come over so that we can interact in a way that she likes more, which is usually me bending over and her like crawling into my lap and like sitting in my lap and licking my face from underneath, which is fine. I'm cool with that. She likes that, right? And it's just, that's just one example of understanding how certain dogs like to be interacted with. The consent test that I mentioned previously, so applicable even with dogs that you know super duper well, right? But when it comes to petting and sharing personal space, you just need to be observant and aware, right? I have some lovely dogs that I know that it is not safe for either of us for me to sit at their level. It's safer if I sit up. They feel more comfortable with that. And you just have to know those details. You just have to know those details. But when you look at it from a logical standpoint, if you are sitting on the ground with your face in a dog's face, that's increasing the likelihood of a bite to your face, which no one wants. No one wants that. I was bit on the lip by an Akita once in a rescue situation. It was less than ideal. I'm lucky I came away without it, but I was green. I was very new and I was doing just what I told you not to do. I was on this dog's level and it was feeling uncomfortable and it came right at my face, right? So just be really cautious and think about that, right? Like if you're interacting with a dog that you know, but maybe you don't feel like you're an expert at reading dog body language and you're just not really sure, sit in a chair, stand, right? So just be cautious about your positioning, your movements, right? And something that I do a lot with dogs, especially ones that don't know me super well, is I use more inviting body language. I move away from them. I encourage them to come to me. I'm not going to them. I'm not standing over them, right? And I think that those are just like small little things that you can do that will greatly reduce the risk of getting bit by a dog. When it comes to unknown and known dogs, there are two general rules that I think if you always follow, it is very unlikely that dog is going to bite you. One, if the dog is eating or actively chewing on a high value food reinforcement or resource, don't touch them. Don't approach them, right? If a dog is eating a bone, you do not need to be standing there patting them on the head while they're doing it. They don't need your help. They've got it, right? If a dog is eating, for God's sake, just let them eat in peace. Do not approach them. Do not touch them. Just let them eat, okay? Because those are two instances where you are posing yourself as a significant threat to a valuable resource for this dog. And if they bit you, you kind of only have yourself to blame, pay attention, right? The dog is eating or has a high value food resource. Don't touch them. Don't touch them. And honestly, this is for some of you who, this is for some of you interacting with your own dogs, right? I don't think that Waylon, I think I would really have to push Waylon, but if he has a high value bone, I'm still not going and touching him, right? So just be really, really mindful about that. If the dog is eating or chewing on a bone, don't touch them. Don't approach them. Just let them live their life, okay? Additionally, if a dog that you know, maybe don't know super well, is sleeping, don't approach them. Don't go touch them while they're sleeping. Just let them sleep. A lot of times bites happen because a dog gets startled. They don't know what's going on and you're right there and then chomp, right? So if a dog is sleeping peacefully, let them be. Don't be going over there and being like, hi, pay attention to me. What are you doing, dog? Don't do that. Just let them sleep. And I can promise you that if you're doing that, you are greatly reducing the chance of getting bit by a dog. And I know that it seems kind of trivial, like kind of common sense, but y'all, I do this day in and day out. I work with dogs that bite people because people do dumb stuff. So really, if your dog is sleeping peacefully, or the dog that you kind of know but don't know super well is sleeping peacefully, let them be, okay? I will be honest, with my own dogs, I can approach them when they're sleeping. I can approach them when they're eating, but that's because we have trust and years of training built up. If you don't have that with the dog, don't tempt fate, all right? So I want to touch on something really quickly. If you are listening and you have a dog who has bit someone, has bit another dog, I really think that there are a lot of protocols that you can put into place to prevent the biting from happening and the damage from happening. You all know I'm a huge advocate of muzzle training. I actually am getting Waylon a new fancy custom muzzle to wear under the conditions where he is capable of using his teeth. I'm actually going to do a podcast episode with a friend of mine who's a trainer, and she makes muzzles. Stay tuned for that. But muzzle training is hugely helpful in decreasing the risk of bites, right? Because if they have a muzzle on, it's going to be really hard for them to bite. Not that they're still not going to muzzle punch, because that's possible, but at least they're not going to be able to bite and do damage. And if you have a dog that's capable of biting, you just have to come to terms with the truth of who your dog is, what they're capable of under the right conditions, and make sure that you put protocols in place, right? I know the exact conditions that Waylon is capable of biting. I know exactly how to create them. And in turn, I know exactly how to prevent them, right? So the circumstance where Waylon bit my friend, Waylon will never be in that situation again. Easy to prevent. The end. If you don't know all of those details, you need the help of a behavioral professional, okay? Just like do your best, get the support that you possibly can, because dogs who will bite are complicated. I will be honest, like I was saying, Waylon is capable of biting under the right conditions. He's still totally safe. There's no need for euthanizing. I know exactly what to do to prevent him from biting, and that's great. But not all dogs will necessarily have that same outcome. Right? So if you have a dog who has bit and maybe you haven't sought the support that you need yet, I really want to encourage you to seek out the help of a qualified behavior professional because there's so many things that you can do to keep the dog safe, to keep you safe, and to hopefully live a relatively peaceful life together. So everyone, when it comes to dog bite prevention, really stay aware. Don't approach dogs that don't approach you. Really, really become an expert at reading dog body language. Don't touch dogs, approach them, or try and take things if they're eating or chewing on a resource. And let sleeping dogs lie. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Do me a favor. If you enjoyed this episode, will you please share it? I think that the more people we can reach with this information, the safer this world becomes for all of us. And you can join the body language mini course for free at the link in the show notes. Have a beautiful weekend. Smooch those puppies for me. And I am already looking forward to the next episode.
There are loads of ways to support this podcast. Many of you have left reviews. Many of you have shared this podcast with your friends and family. But we've created another way for you to support this podcast by making a monetary financial contribution. You can choose from a one-time contribution or making a small monthly contribution to continue to make Disorderly Dogs possible. You can learn more at the link in the show notes.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show.
If you need help with your dog's behavior, you can learn more about our training services at agoodfeelingdogtraining.com. We post training inspiration and training tips almost daily over on the Instagram at agoodfeeling_NCO. If you like this podcast, we would be so grateful if you could share it with a friend or family member who could benefit from all of the information. It's been a total delight. We love this podcast so much. And thank you so much for listening to Disorderly Dogs.